The reading of our Holy Scripture this morning comes from Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 through 17, if you would like to join along. And the background is it is a letter from Paul written while he was in prison in Rome. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, and as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your heart to God. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. The reading of God, the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Please pray with me. O Heavenly Father, protect me from me and hide me behind the cross. May the words that I speak this morning and the thoughts that we together share be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. Amen. Gratitude in the human spirit. I've got a question for you this morning. Do you think of yourself as a grateful person? Simple question. Robert Emmons, a professor of psychology from the University of California, Davis, and psychology professor Michael McCullough from the University of Miami in Florida. They have long been interested in the role that gratitude plays in our physical and our emotional well-being. So they ran an experiment a few years ago, and they took three groups of people and randomly assigned them to focus on one of three things each week. Things that irritated them, ordinary, mundane things of life was number two. And the third one was to focus on things that they were grateful for. What were the results, you wonder? The people who focused on the things that were based in gratitude, surprise, were happier people. Is that really a surprise? They viewed life in more favorable terms. They reported fewer negative physical symptoms, such as headaches or colds. And they were active in many ways that were good for them. Those who were grateful enjoyed a higher quality of life. Now, Professor Emmons was surprised. This isn't just something that makes people happy, he said, like positive thinking or optimism type pop psychology. A feeling of gratitude really gets people to do something, to become more pro-social, more compassionate. And they found that this was not the case for the other two groups. In another study, more than 60 scientists were given millions of dollars by our government in funding to help humanity find happiness, based on the premise that although the U.S. standard of living has increased significantly since World War II, that there was no increase in the number of people who regard themselves as happy. What did they find out? How did our money get spent? Researchers found that self-esteem, spirituality, family, good marriages, and friendships were keys to a happy life. Are y'all shocked? They also saw that gratitude was another key ingredient to a happy life. Researchers found that those people who made a daily and are a frequent practice of being thankful were not only more joyful, they were indeed more healthy, they were less stressed, more optimistic, and frankly, more likely to help other people. So what is it that modern research is telling us about the link between gratitude and religion? They found that people who describe themselves as religious are more likely to be grateful than those who describe themselves as non-religious. Once again, academia has proven what God has been trying to reveal to us for over 2,000 years. The great 20th century theologian Karl Barth once said that the basic human response to God is not fear. It's not guilt, but it's thanksgiving. What else can we say to God but to stammer praise? He said. Gratitude and the human spirit. Living a life of gratitude produces abundant life and joy. So this morning I want to give each of you and lift up for you three facts about gratitude in your spirit. First one, gratitude is the miracle-creating attitude. The miracle-creating attitude. There is incredible power in thanksgiving. It has the power to transform what seems to be unsolvable problems. When we learn to thank and praise God in the midst of a problem, in the midst of pain, in the midst of a crisis, God works miracles. I think the 16th chapter of Acts is an example of this. In this, as you many remember, Paul and Silas had gone to Philippi to teach and to preach, and then they were not well received. In fact, at one point, the crowd began to stone them. They were beaten up and thrown into prison. And at midnight, in the middle of a dark, dank, cold prison, Paul and Silas decided to show their gratitude to God. All that happened in that prison that night, they decided to show their gratitude to God. How do they do that? They began to praise God and sing hymns of thanksgiving. And what happened? An earthquake hit, shaking the cell doors off their hinges, taking the shackles off their walls. The point is freedom came through thanksgiving. Church, my brothers and sisters, peace and joy can come through expressing gratitude. An attitude of gratitude will produce miracles in your life. I ask you this morning, what is it that has you locked up today? What is it that has you paralyzed? Is it fear? Is it about your finances? Is it worry about a relationship? Is it conflict in a marriage? Is it despair, depression, guilt? What is it that's enslaving you? Bitterness, anger? What is the emotional prison that at times you find yourself in? Whatever it is, start thanking God in the middle of that situation. And you will be amazed. We have to realize that we are truly blessed. In spite of our circumstances, like Paul and Silas, give God praise. Giving praise with humility and awe and wonder. Express your gratitude for God's presence and never failing faithfulness. Instead of complaining about our problems, let's count the blessings that we have. Instead of looking at what we may have lost, look at what we still have. As God's chosen ones, holy and blessed, clothe yourselves with compassion and kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. And be thankful, Paul tells us. Gratitude is the miracle-creating attitude. Point two. Gratitude is an acknowledgement of God's generosity to us. When we live life with a grateful heart, we express gratitude that has its foundations in God's generosity. Becoming grateful in everything, Paul says, whatever you do, you can do it as a thanksgiving offering if you do it in the name of the Lord Jesus and do it with a grateful heart. Whatever we do, can we make it a thanksgiving offering? Can you wash dishes with an attitude of gratitude? Yes, you can. Can you change diapers as an act of thanksgiving? Yes, you can. Can you repair your car? Can you take out the garbage with gratitude and thanksgiving? Yes, you can. Whatever you do in word or deed, do it with a spirit of thanksgiving. And God will transform your heart and your life. This is how we become imitators of Christ. Just as you have been forgiven, forgive. As Jesus loves, clothe yourself with love. And in all things, acknowledge God, and God will lift you up. Acknowledge God's generosity with a grateful heart, and you will find blessing. Emanuel Swedenborg, he was an 18th century Swedish scientist and a theologian. Yes, the two are compatible. He once wrote that those who feel love toward their neighbor and a blessedness toward God, those who were able to do both were in a grateful sphere of heavenly state, and thus they were the same as in heaven. What he's telling us is those that are able to do that are in the kingdom of God right now. Christ told us many times that the kingdom of God was at hand. Therefore, it is through gratitude that we have the ability to live in a joyful, peaceful state in a way that basically gratitude opens the door to heaven's gifts. Do you want the gift of heaven? Paul instructs us to give thanks in all circumstances. And I think at times too many followers of Christ misunderstand this verse and what Paul was telling us. It doesn't say give thanks for all circumstances. God does not expect you to give thanks for evil. It's something happens bad to you, God doesn't say, give thanks for that evil. But you are to give thanks in every circumstance. Why? Because you know that God will use all things working together for good. That God will always be with you. That God will give you the power to overcome. Now, let me say this again because I expect to hear an amen from the church. Because you know that God will use all things working together for good. That God will always be with you. That God will give you the power to overcome. Do I hear an amen?
Amen.
Amen. I know it's hard for us Methodists to do that, but it feels good at times. Third. Gratitude is expressed through prayer, praise, gifts, and service. Does that sound familiar? As Methodists, we take this vow and membership and renew it with every new member that we have. When you pray to God, first and foremost, express your gratitude to God. Scripture says, give thanks to the Lord and pray to Him. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Gratitude is expressed through praise as we come into God's presence with singing and His courts with praise. Our gratitude flows through songs. There is a praise chorus that I love that is sung often, and it says, blessed be your name on the road marked with suffering. Though there's pain in the offering, blessed be your name. Every blessing you pour out, I'll turn back to praise. When the darkness closes in, Lord, still I will say, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name. Gratitude is expressed through praise. Gratitude is expressed through gifts. Church, now make no mistake. I know people hate talking about this at times, but make no mistake, your financial giving is indeed a spiritual matter. God doesn't need what you have, but He wants you to give because out of that faith you know that God will still take care of you. As a witness to whether we believe in and possess a miracle-creating attitude of gratitude. It is an acknowledgement of God's generosity and amazing grace. Gratitude and giving go together theologically, absolutely. Now don't misunderstand what I'm saying. I'm not necessarily saying that you have to give more to the church. People, some can't. What I'm saying is, if you're giving only because you feel that you have to, I'd rather you keep it. This is a spiritual matter, gratitude and faith. Thanks and giving do go together. Thanksgiving. Paul instructs the Corinthians, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. And lastly, gratitude is expressed through your service. And I am so blessed to be a part of a church that understands that. Every time you serve someone else, every time you break out of our little box that we have created in our own lives, every time you reach out in concern and service to a world broken, you're offering a visible and tangible thanksgiving offering to God. And you're expressing gratitude for all that God has given you. Today, in a few minutes, we will commit our hearts in service to God. Together, we can express our interest in how we serve God's kingdom and what this church can do. Today, as you commit your service and you commit the viability of this church, you embrace our church's core value to serve in the power of God's love. Brothers and sisters, gratitude is the miracle-creating attitude, proven by both faith and proven by science. Gratitude is acknowledgement of God's generosity as expressed through prayer and praise, our gifts and our service. Today and tomorrow, with gratitude, commit yourself to God. Amen and amen.